Let's go to the phone lines in Montreal, 514-597-4500. Toll free across Quebec, 1-877-597-4500. And we have Nick from Outremont who is on the line. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Rebecca. How's it going?
Good. So my series director tells me that you have used one of these scooters.
Yeah, I was just recently in Tel Aviv, and Tel Aviv, they seem to have embraced the electric scooters like a lot. So they have like probably 10 different companies running these scooters. I actually use Lime. That's just the one I chose because they had a lot of them around, and it totally changed the way that I interacted with the city. I had actually bought a bus pass for 2 weeks or something, and I didn't end up using it once. I just used these Lime scooters, and it made me super mobile. It's true that there were a lot of them in the street. They have the sort of floating model where there's no parking spots. But the compromise, there was a small price to pay, you know, like because it ended up being such a useful tool for me.
I'm wondering what you found that it added to your experience, because you're in a new city. So did you find that you enjoyed it more? You discovered more?
Yeah, I definitely discovered more. I was able to see way more of the city. I didn't have to worry about, you know, waiting for a bus or finding out what bus I need to take. I was able to see a lot of the city very quickly and efficiently. Also, you know, just like able to see a lot because you're out in the open, and you could kind of combine walking with the scooters. You could combine different modes of transportation with them because you're not locked into, like, let's say if you had your own bicycle, you have to, you know, if you bike to one destination, you have to bike back, you know. But with these, you can switch it up. You can take different things, and you move very quickly. The one thing though is that I never wore a helmet because. Obviously, I didn't have one with me, so I don't know. I don't know how strict cities should be with that. Like there, they had the law that said you had to wear a helmet, but I just didn't follow it.
So it seems like did anyone stop you and say, "Hey,
no,
warning"?
Nobody stopped me, and I'd say probably 75% of people were not wearing helmets, maybe even more, because you know, as you can imagine, it's a challenge to bring a helmet with you everywhere you go. So. Yeah, I think they kind of turned a blind eye.
Yeah, it seems to be in opposition to, you know, the whole point of the scooters is that you can get one wherever you are, but the helmet, you would have to just carry around a helmet with you, I guess. By the way, here in Montreal, you do have to wear a helmet, and you can only ride the scooters on bike paths or on streets where the speed limit is under 50.
I think the same thing is for Bixi, right? You need to have a helmet on a Bixi, but nobody really does because it's almost impossible to always have one with you.
Helmet aside, though, on the safety, how safe did you feel riding it? Because you have cars, there's pedestrians, there's cyclists.
Yeah, so I would say I was shocked at how quickly. I mean, it's a type of vehicle that I've never used before, right? So I downloaded the app, and within 1 minute, I was already on the scooter riding it. It took like no time at all to learn how to use it, and it was definitely kind of a funny feeling because you're in a different position than on a bicycle, and it was new and everything. But it took me very little time to figure it out, and I felt relatively safe. You know, you are at the mercy of vehicles hitting you and whatnot, but that's why, you know, it's important to have lots of bike lanes or transportation lanes. And I it's a little bit nerve-wracking for sure, but I don't think it's any more dangerous than riding a bike. And I think it's a risk that people just need to take. You know, it's just part of living in a city.
If people are interested in using them, there are quite a few of these scooters now here with the pilot project. 430 of them in Ville-Marie, Côte-des-Neiges, NDG, Villeray, Saint-Michel Park Extension, Westmount, perhaps soon Rosemont. Do you think that, you know, sometimes you do things on vacation that you wouldn't do in your regular life when you're going to work and you're running your errands? Are you going to be a Lime customer in Montreal?
Yeah, I'd say so. I have a Bixi. I ride my bike everywhere, but I still have a year-long Bixi subscription. And I also recently started using the Jump bikes by Uber, the electric bicycles. So I use different modes of transportation depending on the circumstance, depending on how fast I need to get somewhere, the cost, all that. So yeah, I see myself using it for certain circumstances.
So you have a Bixi membership, your own bike.
Yeah.
You use the Jump electric Uber bikes, yeah. And you're
Alfie
going to
Cardigo and Uber and a regular car. I use everything.
Wow, that is, those are a lot of options.
Yeah, on the move.
Do you like the electric, the jump bikes, in case you don't know? They're provided by Uber. It looks kind of like a Bixie, but it's red and it's electric. Did you like those?
Yeah, that's great too. Those ones go really fast. I don't know the max speed, but those ones felt like I was actually more scared than on the Lime scooter. They seem to be going faster than I expected. And yeah, that's nice because you kind of get the best of both worlds. You have the sort of mobility of a bicycle, but you go seemingly almost as fast as cars. So I would probably use that if I had to get, you know, across the city quickly, because I think I'd probably get there faster than if I was driving.
According to just some quick Googling, it says a jump goes 32 kilometers an hour. So that is pretty fast for a bike.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could probably push that a bit, you know. All right.
Okay, Nick, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
That was Nick from Outremont, who was calling in to tell us that he actually has tried the e-scooters and really likes them. Let me know what you think. Have you used them? And if you did, what did you think? If you haven't, are you curious about them? Do you think that they're a good addition to the city streets where we already have bikes and cars and pedestrians? Give me a call. In Montreal, the number is 514-597-4500. Toll free across Quebec, it's 1-877-597-4500. Or send me a text message, 514-566-9066. As you heard Nick, our caller, saying he used one of these scooters while he was on vacation. They are popular in several cities around the world. And with the rise in popularity, there also comes people who want to study these modes of transportation, see who uses them, and see probably how much of a future they have. And for that, I'm joined by Grant McKenzie. He's a professor of geography at McGill, and he researches e-scooters. Professor McKenzie, thanks for being on the show.
I'm happy to be here.
There's so many factors that you could look into here. It's pretty fascinating when you hear from someone like our last caller who says he uses Lime scooters, he uses Bixie, he's using all these different relatively new services that are out there. What exactly are you studying when it comes to e-scooters?
Sure, yeah. A lot of the research that myself and my lab are quite interested in is seeing what impact these scooters are going to have on existing modes of transportation, existing alternative modes of transportation too, like bike share or metro or vehicle or walking in this case. A lot of our research currently has been focused in the United States and Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles, cities that have had these e-scooters for quite a while and actually have, you know, Washington, D.C. has about six different companies operating these mobility shared services. And as I start to look at a lot of these companies start to look at Canada, we're quite interested in understanding how that adoption will take place in Canada and what kind of impact that might have on existing services like Bixie or bike share in other cities as well.
There is some concern about exactly that on the text message line. Here's a text that just came in. It says, Lime scooters and Uber's jump bikes. These devices take up and co-opt public space in the name of community transportation. However, they're operated by multinational corporations. Those modes of transportation should be better regulated by the city like Bixie is, and Montreal should not succumb to private capitalist interests. Is that something that you're looking at all? The fact that, you know, people look at some of these services and they're thinking, well, this is a mode of, they could think it's a mode of public transportation. In fact, it's not. And it does use up resources like roads, et cetera, maybe detracts from other options which are presented by the city. Is that, business aspect of it part of what you're studying?
Yeah, to a certain extent, we are quite interested in seeing sort of the impact this has on existing infrastructure and that dichotomy between sort of public and private funding for these different sources. One of the things that was really interesting in Washington, D.C. was that they were one of the first cities to experience this, at least in North America. And these services just showed up overnight. And there was no consultation with the city at all. These originally dockless bikes and then dockless scooters showed up, just distributed around the city, and people sort of had to figure out as they went along how it happened. happened. And it took the city quite a while to catch up and realize some of the impacts this was actually having, things like scooters lying in the middle of sidewalks and people using them on sidewalks and in the middle of streets. And then they actually had to come in and bring in a permitting process, understand the usage, and go from there. One of the nice things that we're seeing in Canada is because there's been such sort of a backlash against them and a bit of a discussion happening in the United States and in China and Europe, is that we're getting to see what's happened in previous cities and learn from that. And one of the things I think Montreal is doing quite well is they have looked at that data. They've looked at and seen some of the problems that other cities have had, and they've set regulations like places like for scooters in certain regions that you can park them at, right? You can't just leave a scooter anywhere. And if you do, there's a consequence for the company, and that company is going to turn around and pass that consequence on to you in the form of a fee or a penalty. And so I think that there are some major hurdles to overcome, but I think the city is doing a good job of sort of sitting in between the two and saying, we realize that private industry has some place in our transportation and it has to exist in sort of cooperation with the city. But we also want to make sure we understand what our citizens and the inhabitants of the city want as well. I think one of the things we're going to want to see moving forward, and this is something that the city is pushing for quite a bit right now, is getting access to understanding the data that these companies are collecting, right? There's more and more discussion about companies like Facebook collecting information on the users. We want to make sure that we understand what kind of data Lime is collecting on the users and make sure the city has access to that data so that we know how people are using these systems, how they're tying into the existing transportation systems, and just making sure that people are using them in a fashion that makes sense for the community in general.
Well, on that, you know, I wonder how much you know so far about e-scooters from your studies on who is really benefiting from them, besides the company who is making money off renting them out to people. Is it younger people? Is it urban professionals? Is it who's the main customer who's interested in Lime and renting these e-scooters?
It's an interesting sort of mix of people. It definitely tends to be younger. People that have access to are more familiar with working with mobile apps. They have access to a credit card, right? So people that have some financial wealth that they can actually, you know, they have a credit card, they have a credit rating, so they can actually plug that information into their phone and then use that to unlock a device. And they're willing to take that step to do that, right? So it tends to be professionals that are a bit younger, urban professionals especially, so people that are living in the city. And what we do see is it's a bit more surprising than we originally thought was this: these scooters don't tend to follow typical commuting patterns. So one of the things we see with Bixi, right, is that, you know, 8 or 9 a.m., there's a big peak in usage, and then 5 p.m., 6 p.m. On weekdays, there's also that same peak in usage, meaning that people are using these to get to and from work, and they're relying on them as a robust means of transportation to get to and from work. And we don't see that same pattern, at least in other cities, for things like e-scooters or even things like the jump bikes, the electric assist bikes, which implies to us that it's actually people aren't using these systems to get to and from work. They're using them to do smaller trips. I think like the last caller mentioned, you know, you take it to when you go to the grocery store or go to a pub. You're not necessarily using it as a reliable means of transportation to get to and from work. Now, that might change as these systems become more used in practice and we start to see more of them showing up and people start to rely on them. But right now that pattern of commuting is not being seen in the evidence and the data that we've collected for other cities.
Do you think that will happen? I'm so curious to know how people will take to them en masse. Earlier in the show, I was saying maybe there were some doubters when the Bixi system came in. You know, people were saying, could have looked at it and said, why would I pay to rent a bike and then I have to leave it and bring it back to a station? Why wouldn't I just buy my own bike? But now when Bixi releases their annual reports, the numbers seem to be going up most years. So it's grown in popularity. But as you said, people aren't using Lime scooters or e-scooters in general in the same way. Maybe they're using them for smaller errands. Maybe they're almost more of a novelty. I mean, the caller who we spoke to said that he was on vacation and he was sightseeing but hasn't used one in Montreal yet, even though he loved it so much. Do you think that, can you predict now, you've studied e-scooters, are they going to be here to stay? Do you think they're more of a fad?
I think that they will. They are here to stay in some fashion. I don't know if it'll be the way that they exist right now. I think we're going to have a range of different companies that come through, and it could be that, you know, cities start to invest heavily themselves in these sorts of systems. We already see the Bixi starting to look into electric assist Bixi bikes as well. So they're starting to go that direction. So whether it stays in the sort of the private sector or makes its way into sort of a public-private partnership, I think is the sort of, that's what we're starting to look at. You're right. Right now we're kind of in this honeymoon phase in a lot of cities. It's the novelty of these systems, and the people trying them out tend to be on vacation, or they tend to be someone that just, it's a nice day on the way home from work. They'll say, I'll try this out for 5 minutes and see how it goes. I think it's going to take us quite a few years, probably 2 to 3, maybe even up to 5 or 6 years before these become a reliable means of transportation. I mean, you have to think about people that are going to and from work. They're right now, they know they can rely on Bixi. It's been around for so long. It's funded by taxpayers. It's a system that people have seen in their lives for such a long period of time. These scooters are still so new to people that they're still unsure whether they can rely on them to get to and from work or to the metro or whatever the case may be. But just the means of transportation is such where I think it's very appealing to a lot of people. And if these continue to be at this sort of relatively cheap price point and continue to be around, present for people to experience them, I can see them definitely making their way into the landscape of transportation systems in major metropolis cities.
Well, I guess only time will tell. Well, you know, our pilot project is ending November 15th, so we'll see next summer or next spring if Lime scooters come back to Montreal. Maybe by that point, another scooter company, there are several of them, there's Bird as well, will be looking at coming in. Professor McKenzie, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
That is Grant McKenzie. He's a professor of geography at McGill University, and as you heard, he researched